Welcome to the Financial Times. I'm Helen Worrell. The relief effort is now well underway in Haiti after a devastating earthquake last week claimed over 100,000 lives and left survivors stranded without food or shelter. Our Caribbean correspondent Benedict Manda is in the Haitian capital, Port-au-Prince, and he's on the line now. Benedict, can you tell us what the atmosphere is like in Port-au-Prince at the moment now that the aid has started to flow in?
I'd say on the whole that it's surprisingly calm given the circumstances and the complete chaos that's been caused. There's some pretty awful scenes here at the moment. I've been to many different parts of the city and have thankfully really not felt that threatened at all for most of the time at least. It's certainly pretty edgy, and you do get the feeling that at times things could flare up quite easily if people are provoked. But there certainly have been outbreaks of looting, occasionally, and there could certainly be more if the desperation gets worse. They've yet to respond in an aggressive or violent way. They've been very patient and resigned, perhaps. But it may be that they're just so used to these crisis situations. I mean, this is not the first crisis that's happened. In 2008, there were a succession of four very serious hurricanes. There have been natural disasters here every year. There's also been serious political turmoil. The point I'm making is that the people here just seem to be taking this in their stride, because although this probably is the most awful thing to have happened in this country for a long, long time, they are to a certain degree accustomed to awful things.
Okay, well, who's in charge at the moment? Is there meaningful government?
Well, the government has taken a very serious blow. Many of its buildings have been razed to the ground. They're just piles of rubble. And also lots of senior figures in the government have died. The UN is certainly very careful to emphasize that it is the Haitian government that is in charge and that it's just following orders and helping out in the relief effort. So yes, I think we have to say that the Haitian government is in charge, but they're operating out of a dilapidated police station, and they haven't got proper offices, and communications are a problem. And now, of course, we've got the US taking an increasingly active role with the US military in increasing numbers on the island. So there may be some criticism there that they're sort of beginning to take too much control.
What do you think the main priorities should be now for foreign aid workers and the government there?
Well, the UN said today, and it strikes me as absolutely correct, that the immediate priorities, at least for the wider humanitarian response, do continue to be the distribution of food and water. That's absolutely key. Medical assistance, of course, is very important too. Secondary, perhaps, to that is as many as 1 million people have lost their homes, and temporary shelter is important for them. Sanitation is another issue. Like I say, food and water is essential, because without that could create instability amongst the population, and it could spark looting and rioting.
What do you think the biggest challenges are now, and how do you think they will be resolved in the future weeks and months?
I think there's one overarching problem which is really needs to be resolved, which is one of just coordination, efficient organisation, which comes back to the problem of the government. There's been a huge amount of solidarity from countries around the world, and aid agencies have been rushing in to provide support. But it does need to be coordinated and organised so that all these resources are allocated efficiently. There have been a number of bottlenecks which have impeded the relief effort. Perhaps the most frustrating has been the congestion in the airport, and we've found that a lot of aid coming through, airplanes carrying supplies, have been turned back, and I think lives have been lost as a result. Communications is another serious issue. It's getting better, but if people can't communicate, if rescue teams and aid agencies, the government itself, can't communicate between itself, that is obviously a serious problem. Another issue that is becoming increasingly worrying is the lack of fuel. So again, if mobility is seriously restricted, that means that it's harder to get help.
Okay, well, thank you very much indeed, Benedict. That was Benedict Mander for the Financial Times in Port-au-Prince.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.